downtown. On a Tuesday afternoon, Rich Kimball, Carrie Haskell with you. Our next guest, incredibly successful songwriter and producer who has written hits like this one, Living on a Prayer, You Give Love a Bad Name for Bon Jovi, I Was Made for Loving You for Kiss, Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca, over 80 top 40 hits he's written through the years. And he's also hosting in Nashville in April what sounds like a great event, a songwriting fantasy camp. We are pleased to be joined this afternoon by Desmond Child.
Rich Kimball, how you doing?
Great, Desmond. So good to have you with us.
In more ways than one.
What a cool thing you've got going here in Nashville in April, songwriting fantasy camp. I love the idea and everybody you've got lined up behind it. What's the biggest challenge for aspiring songwriters?
I think that it's a bit overwhelming because you have to become as self-sufficient as possible. So learning how to write a song is, you know, step one. You know, just at a piano or at a guitar or to a loop or something like that, to learn how to tell a story and put a melody to it. That's like basic. But to have a career as a songwriter, it's, you know, so many levels of it. I mean, I specialize in writing lyrics, but, you know, I play piano, I put melodies to the lyrics, and I'm a really great collaborator. I had a very lonely childhood. I don't like playing alone in the sandbox. So for me, it's the biggest fun in the world, even with someone I never met, to just get in there in the sacred space of writing a song and start sharing. And before you know it, in an hour and a half, you've written a hit song. It just comes together. It's special. It's magic. I love it.
I would think having a collaborator has got to be a huge help. If you're writing a book or a short story, you've got an editor who can come back and say, you know, what if we tweak this? But if you're a solo songwriter, who do you lean on to tell you, I don't know, that maybe that chorus doesn't work. Maybe if you change that bridge a little bit.
Well, producers will do that, even if they're not collaborating as a songwriter. And I think that's, you know, fantastic if a young artist can get together with a creative team, and then you'll get plenty of feedback, believe me. That sucks. I've been collaborating on writing my autobiography called Living on a Prayer, Big Song, Big Life with David Ritz, and it's taken me 5 years, and it's he and I back and forth. Yesterday we were still tweaking things. Because things happen. I there's a chapter about my working with Meatloaf on Bat Out of Hell 3 and my experiences with him, and then he passes away. So now it changes the chapter because now he's not alive anymore. And so, you know, it's kind of a tribute to him. And so it changes things. And the great thing is, you know, I'm going to be self-publishing. When you self-publish, you can keep making changes, or, you know, if somebody calls you, say, that's not the way it is. It's like, write your own book then. <laughs> You know? That happened to me with Steven Tyler when I read his book, and I started fuming because he, like, gave me, like, such little credit for collaborating on Dude Looks Like a Lady, you know. But he talked for, like, pages about how I looked like Juan Valdez, you know, from, you know, the coffee commercial. You know, with a handlebar mustache. It's like, I've never had a mustache. I don't know what you were thinking. When I finally worked with him again on one of his more recent records, I said, let me sit down and tell you how it went writing Dude Looks Like a Lady. And he goes, looks at me, goes, yeah, I like your story better than mine. It's like, what? You put this in print forever.
We're talking with Desmond Child here on Downtown. You mentioned Meatloaf.
Book too.
You mentioned Meatloaf. We had a collaborator of his, Ellen Foley, on our show not too long ago, and before he passed, and she talked about what the experience was like, and obviously his stage persona was different than the Meatloaf that you worked with behind the scenes. But what was it like working with him on a number of different projects?
Well, you know, Bad Out of Hell 3 took me 9 months to make, and it was really an ordeal. I mean, it really, really was. And it was sad in a way because the Bad Out of Hell franchise or brand or the trilogy was always written by Jim Steinman. But at that point, they had been fighting over the brand name Bad Out of Hell because Jim wanted to write a Broadway show based on the Bad Out of Hell, you know, trilogy or the storyline. And so Meatloaf said, well, you can't do that. Bad Out of Hell belongs to me. And so they fought about it. It was right when he needed to make the Bad Out of Hell 3 so he could tour and go forward. So, of course, they brought me in because I have, you know, similar roots in, you know, rock and that kind of East Coast sound. And it was hard filling Jim Steinman's shoes. I mean, we ended up cutting 7 of his songs on Bad Out of Hell 3, which were covers, because Jim wasn't giving out the songs he had been saving for the Bad Out of Hell 3 that he was eventually going to do when they settled their differences. So it was always, fighting to be taken, you know, completely seriously in Jim Steinman's shadow. But it's a masterpiece. If anybody gets a chance to listen to it, I don't think it's even out on Spotify or anything like that. You have to order the CD from, you know, eBay or something. It's not available right now, and it's really, really a masterpiece. It was one of the most expensive records of all time, you know, especially of this century, because there were demon choirs and orchestras, and we cut songs several times with different bands, and there were all these singers, and it's great. Jennifer Hudson's on it. Brian May from Queen appeared in it, and I just think that, you know, he was like a big bear, you know, and he roared a lot. And I think it was, now looking back on it, he was in pain because he missed Jim and missed that camaraderie. And I just couldn't get into his heart, you know. But still, it's really a remarkable piece of music.
Well, this is a great event coming up, Songwriter Fantasy Camp, April 7th through the 10th in Nashville. You can go to rockcamp.com for more information. I've loved your music through the years, of the songs you wrote that others recorded, but as a young radio guy, man, I loved Our Love is Insane with Desmond Child and Rouge.
Oh, wow. You know that we reformed and we put out the first two albums, and we did, from scratch, a new version of Our Love is Insane. It's like EDM style. And we keep making new music. And we also have a website that's Time Tunnel. And every picture is from, like, back of the day. And it's so wonderful. So I get to be young forever. And so you can find that on Instagram and Facebook and everything. And we have DesmondChildandRouge.com. And also, I like to be followed around, stalked on Instagram at Desmond.Child.
Well, good luck with the Songwriting Fantasy Camp, and keep on keeping on making great music and making people happy with what you do. Desmond, really appreciate you making time for us today.
Thank you so much, Rick.